If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome one and all to another day, another show, another Damage Report with me, John Arola, and returning to the show, Abilina Sabrina. Welcome. Glad to have you here.
Hello, so happy to be here. And also, can I just say congratulations to the Californian fast food workers who just got $20 an hour. That just started this month. So it's a good day.
100%. Very good news. Yeah. Yesterday on the show, we were contrasting how Virginia, the governor, had vetoed a raise to the minimum wage, whereas California actually put one through. Turns out that like your elected officials matter. Mm-hmm. So very good news. And to any of the conservatives who might be thinking, hey, that's not fair. They don't deserve $20. That's easy money. Feel free to go work that job for a little bit and we'll see how you feel about that after a few months. But anyway, you trust fund babies. So good news, as you point out, for those. It's been a little bit since you've been on. What have you been up to? What are you working on these days?
Oh my goodness. I'm streaming on Twitch again. So if you catch my streams in the morning, it will be a political stream covering news topics. And in the evening, it's not so much. So just pick your time when you choose to tune in. You can still find me on youtube.com/AbilinaSabrina. I recently got banned from the right-wing dating app called The Right Stuff, if you wanted to learn more about that. And I'm also still posting TikToks. So yeah, you can find me everywhere at AbilinaSabrina still.
I believe, didn't the app's executive get involved in that story?
Yes, I matched with the co-founder of The Right Stuff. And shortly after I didn't respond, I was banned in the morning when I checked it again.
What do you want? Free marketplace? He didn't have the right stuff, I guess. Anyway, well, very glad to have you back on, particularly because we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about throughout the course of today's show. Not only big updates, we talked yesterday about the launch of Truth Social, their new big partnership with the stock price IPO and everything. And I predicted wildly that that valuation would not hold up. Well, we've got some updates on that in that area. Donald Trump double gagged. We'll be talking about that too. Florida kind of sucks. Maybe could be better following the election though. And Joe Biden taking it to Trump in one of his weak spots. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And last week on the show, we showed you that Lara Trump had released a song. Well, the Democrats are striking back with their own musical stylings. Will we have to defend Lara Trump? Stay tuned to find out. And that's all in the first hour of the show. Coming up in the aftermath, we've got the eclipse. Could it be a signal of the end of days? That's what I'm hearing on TikTok. So we'll be figuring that out. And then also Shakira has thoughts about Barbie and masculinity. And I think it's fascinating and it's my show. So I get to talk about it if I want to. That's how we're gonna end the show today. So anyway, buckle up for that. Hold on to your butts as we launch into all this. And a reminder that we are once again giving out the Blue Apron gift card. So you send in a comment, a super chat, a tweet, that sort of thing. And you have a chance of winning a $100 Blue Apron gift card. So get those in as we move forward. And to that end, are you ready to do this thing?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Let's do it. Let's in fact dive in, starting with this.
Shares of Trump Media and Technology Group, the parent company of Truth Social, plunged yesterday after a new SEC filing revealed the company lost more than $58 million in 2023. That compared to a $50.5 million profit in 2022. Donald Trump, who owns a majority of the newly public company, saw his own net worth tumble by more than $1 billion on paper.
Yeah, Trump's personal wealth tumbling by more than $1 billion, by some estimations, way more than $1 billion in just one day. And I couldn't have asked for it to happen for a better reason than it did. That people figured out that Trump is a con man and that what he's selling is not worth what he says it is. And so he loses $1 billion. That's how the world should work. But anyway, as she alluded to, the media company that controls it went public. The stock price absolutely soared. And it took about a day for people to figure out that that had no relationship whatsoever to the actual value of the company, which meant that a fall was coming. And the fall, in fact, did come. Shares in the firm had plummeted by more than 15% just in the first few hours after that financial statement. Depending on when you're watching this, you can go take a look at the stock price. It's really varied, you know, back and forth from $48 per share. It had been at over 62. When we went live, it was at like at 52. And for those of you who don't own shares in the stock, you might think, well, what's the difference if it's 48 or 52? Well, Trump owns the majority of that stock, which means that price difference is hundreds of millions of dollars for him. So, you know, if you want, put up the stock ticker in a separate tab and occasionally check in. And as it drops, that's fun, just a little hobby for you. In any event, as the stock price began to tumble, I am sure that Donald Trump was thinking it would be nice to sell right now while it still has some value. The issue is that he actually can't sell the stock. Take a look at this.
The other thing I want to note here, Donald Trump can't sell his stock right now. He's in what we call a lockup, which means that for the next 6 months, he's got to sit on those shares. There's a very real possibility that this stock tanks in that time, and that when he does go to buy, sell the shares, they're not worth anything. And so when all these people are saying, oh, well, Donald Trump's net worth is now billions of dollars, well, let's see what happens in 6 months from now and what this company looks like.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what happens to that stock price. Because again, the valuation of it has no relationship whatsoever to what it's worth. I mean, look, you can come up with a scenario where in 5 or 10 years, somehow he figures out how to get people to go to one of the least popular social media sites in the world. You can try as an intellectual exercise to do that. But right now, it ain't worth jack squat. $58 million they lost, okay? Like, I don't know, my Patreon was profitable. His thing wasn't. Sabrina's Twitch stream was more profitable than TMTG Industries. Honestly, if you want to invest in something, invest in Sabrina's Twitch stream, because that will actually have a return on the investment. True Social will not. So I have a lot more to say about this, Sabrina, but I want to bring you in. The stock market's a hell of a thing, isn't it?
Oh boy, that's capitalism, baby. What a great system. But also, I don't know how many people were even taking Truth Media seriously to begin with. When you have joke stocks like this, you can't be surprised when the value of it fluctuates as rapidly as this does. So I kind of feel bad for maybe like the working class folks who were maybe influenced, like, oh yeah, this is a great idea. Invest in this stock. You're investing in our President Donald Trump. Yeah, it's a good thing. And now their money is going down the drain. Like, Trump will still be rich. He's gonna be fine. I don't think anything ultimately bad is going to happen to him, but there are going to be some poor saps out there who are also, going to be out their investment, and that sucks. So
yeah, it feels a lot like 100%. It is. It feels like a crypto pump and dump, though. I'm sure, you know, as it soared up, a lot of like MAGA people were like, "Oh my God, this thing's going to the moon! I gotta get it." But it's not going to stay there. Like, some people are going to make money off of this whenever this sort of insane stuff happens. Some people make money. Would you like to gamble that you're going to be one of those people? Because you know where they make their money from? The rest of the people. How would you like to fund some a-hole getting rich quick? You can do that. You can have a chance at that. But no, this makes no sense. To get a little bit technical, Trump Media has a 1,470 price to sales ratio. Okay, for comparison's sake, Reddit, one of the actual biggest social media sites on the internet, has a 9 price to sales ratio, 1,470 to 9. Ask yourself a question: do you know anyone on True Social? Do you know anyone that has ever been on True Social? I go on True Social. The only account I've ever looked at is Trump's. I have to for my job, which means that I come across the ads on True Social. And if you want to get an idea of what this stock is going to be worth, take a look at the people advertising on True Social. It's a hell of a thing. All of the ads are weird fungal things growing on old people's bodies. And maybe that's worth big money. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like it based on the ads that I'm seeing. So I expect that this is going to continue to drop. But don't ever take financial advice from me. I'm going to be Googling how to short stocks because I feel like some money could be made on the other side of this thing. But I expect that Donald Trump might find in 6 months when he's finally freed up to sell this thing that it's not worth nearly as much as he thought it would be. It will still, because the world sucks, be worth far more than it should be, but it ain't gonna be worth $3 billion. Any other thoughts, Sabrina, before we move on?
Do you think if Truth Social actually like goes down, Trump sells later in the future, do you think he'll go back to Twitter? Because remember, that was his big, big thing, Truth Social launch. And he's like, even though Twitter reinstated me, I'm not going back there. But it's like, you have to go back at some point, at some time, sir. And it's still the same dumpster fire website and it's getting worse and worse. So your demographic is going to be there. You're going to be fine if you end up having to go back to Twitter or X.
Yeah, and the demographic are going to be the Trump ladies. He likes getting the retweets from them about how he's Jesus or something, and bots, all bots. AI generated messages with AI generated images of Donald Trump marching next to lions and stuff. Like, it's all the same either way. There's not a lot of real people involved in this, so I don't know if he ends up fleeing to that. Honestly, there was talk about him creating an actual like media company following his loss in 2020, like starting up a TV news network. He should have just done that. Like, I feel like that could have actually been worth something. I think there are MAGA people that would tune into something like that far more than would actively use True Social. Because again, for a lot of these right wingers, the point of being on a site like that is bothering lefties. Mm-hmm. But there are no lefties there. There's no one to bother. They're just barking at each other. They're just handing the same poorly generated like memes back and forth. That's not fun. But if it was Trump News, you know, if Giuliani had a show or Nick Fuentes or whatever, I don't know, they'd gather together some neo-Nazis or something and they'd slap a big red hat on the whole thing. That could actually be worth money. And in fact, I think that's probably where this is gonna go. Trump is now twice gagged. I know, gross, but it's true. This is in the hush money fraud case. And originally, he had a gag order put on him by the judge to stop him from attacking the courtroom staff, the lawyers, the witnesses, and the jurors. Something that we know he would do because he does it all the time. But as you are probably already aware, ever since that gag order was put on him, he's still been attacking, but he's been attacking the judge and also the judge's family in vicious terms. And we know what his base is. We know what they're likely to do. There's reason to be worried about this. And thus, the double gagging. The gag order has been expanded now to bar attacking family members of the judge, which it definitely should have been that way from the very beginning. And also, importantly, it still doesn't provide protections against attacking the judge or Alvin Bragg. Remember the guy that he posted the meme of him hitting Alvin Bragg with a baseball bat in the head? He can still post up, maybe not that specific one, but he can still post attacks against those two people. And I want to give you responses from both the judge as well as Trump. Judge Merchan says, this pattern of attacking family members of presiding jurists and attorneys, a sign of this case serves no legitimate purpose except for inciting violence. It merely injects fear in those assigned or called to participate in the proceedings that not only they, but their family members as well are fair game for defendants' vitriol. Well, he is very, very bad about being gagged in this way. So here is what he had to say after the announcement. I just was informed that another corrupt New York judge, Juan Merchan, gagged me so that I cannot talk about the corruption and conflicts taking place in his courtroom with respect to a case that everyone, including the DA, felt should have never been brought. They can talk about me, but I can't talk about them. That sounds fair, doesn't it? This judge should be recused and the case should be thrown out. There has virtually never been a more conflicted judge than this one. Election interference at its worst. So that's good. In that message, he went crazy. Conspiracy theories about Alvin Bragg and about the judge. So those are the two people that he can still attack. So that's where he put his conspiracy theories. That makes sense. But the interesting thing is, and you're gonna wanna buckle up for this, he is already testing the new gag order. Because although he did not mention the daughter of the judge right there, he did post a video clip of Fox News. And in that video clip, Brian Kilmeade is spreading already debunked conspiracy theories about the judge as well as the judge's daughter. So a number of things having to do with her supposedly posting memes of him in jail, it didn't happen. Like, we've already known for some time it didn't happen. Brian Kilmeade is still on TV repeating those lies. And Trump is now attempting to evade the gag order by using Brian Kilmeade as his surrogate mouth. We'll have to see if that's allowed. Sabrina, what do you think?
Well, that's kind of the unfortunate thing about like the gag orders. If anything, it gives him more fuel to be like, I'm being censored. So he can like lightly talk about it to his fan base. But his fan base is not under a gag order. They can still go and harass these people that he's not allowed to talk about. So on one hand, yes, he cannot talk about them directly, but he still has plenty of ways to evade these orders, but also get his, you know, his audience, his cronies to attack them in his place. So are we really getting a sense of justice from these gag orders? Did this gag order just make it worse? I don't know. It's bad both ways, I think.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. It's a cultural thing. Like what they can do is stop him kind of from doing it. But what they can't do is sort of like put the genie back in the bottle of not having him be the figurehead of a political movement that believes that conspiracies can stand in for facts, that viciously attacking, perhaps inciting violence against public figures or people just tangentially related to public figures is acceptable or preferable. And that's what they all do. Like Trump posts that stuff, and that certainly helps, you know, throw some like fuel on the fire or whatever. But as you point out, if he doesn't do it, Roger Stone is gonna do it, and Alex Jones is gonna do it, and a million other people are gonna do it, and Fox News is gonna do it. And then every right winger in the country, every red hat wearer is gonna be like, it is my solemn sworn duty to post all this BS constantly. And that's what they do. I don't know how we pull people back from that. It's not inevitable. Like I was trying to come up with like a comparison. Like, so there's a special counsel that was investigating Joe Biden, okay? And he came out with his report that felt really underhanded in a lot of ways. So we reported on that. We did multiple segments on that. We mentioned that the guy was a Republican, that he'd been, you know, originally in that position thanks to Trump or whatever. And aside from that, I wasn't Googling his sister. Like, I'm not interested in what his kids are up to. I don't know what his social media activity was a year or two ago, because it doesn't seem relevant to the case of the investigation. So I didn't look into it, let alone post it. Like, isn't it odd that he can exist as a person investigating a Democrat and face no conspiracy theories? Virtually no discussion whatsoever, despite the fact that he took what many people see as objectively underhanded, unnecessary cheap shots against Joe Biden. Whereas whether it's Tish James or Fannie Willis or Alvin Bragg or the judge or the judge's daughter, literally anyone involved in this stuff is the target of constant conspiracy theories. People you have no reason to even know exist. You know tons of personal facts about their life. Why is it that we have that I guess asymmetry in the way that these things are discussed? It's unfortunate, but it is the way it is. So I do agree with you that it's bigger than just Trump. Any other thoughts about this before we move on?
No, I think it also just heavily lies in the audience as well. His particular audience is more likely to do that on his behalf. Disappointing.
100%. They see it as that's what the movement is. Mm-hmm. Like if I were to like get into Sabrina's mind about what she thinks the goals of the political movement she's in, it would probably be boring stuff about wages and healthcare and stuff. For them, it's taking down the lizard people. It's like they see Satan behind every robe. Anyway, remember the real stakes in this, because regardless of all this nonsense, we are moving every day towards this actual case. And it is now April 2nd, which means in 13 days, the first criminal trial against a former president begins. It could be postponed, but as of right now, that's what's happening. That's the stakes. 34 felony counts of falsifying business records relating to the reimbursement of the hush money payments made to Stormy Daniels. So just bear that in mind. Donald Trump has actually posted the $175 million bond in the New York civil fraud case. Originally, it was nearly $500 million. An appeals court stepped in at the last moment to save his financial bacon, and that was cut to the still significant $175 million. Well, there were still questions as to whether he would be able to pay that off. And if he didn't, then the AG could swoop in, possibly seize his assets and start to sell them. He was able to do it, and he posted so much about it. We're not going to read all of it, but he did acknowledge, "I have just posted a $175 million capital B bond with the sadly failing and very troubled state of New York." Why is it failing? I don't know. They just got $175 million. That'll help. But anyway, he goes on, blah, 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 blah. He repeats all of the arguments that he tried to use to stop the original judgment against him. None of it helped because none of it had anything to do with what was going on. The fraud that he was a party to in New York is all right out there. It's not even like you don't have to be an attorney. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand what they did. It is all transparent. It's all documented year by year. You can ignore it. And that is indeed the only defense. That's what Fox News has done. But none of this has anything to do with anything. And he talks about the judge and he talks about all of this stuff. It's all nonsense and crooked judge this. And it's all coming directly from Joe Biden. Joe Biden has nothing to do with this. I will just remind everyone, Joe Biden is literally not a part of this state level investigation of business fraud in New York. He doesn't have control over it. He doesn't seem like the sort of guy who would exercise it even if he could, but he also can't. So just bear that in mind. And the last thing, and I just want to fact check this because I don't know if you've seen this going around. I had to pay New York State in order to appeal a corrupt decision by a biased, crooked, and highly overturned judge. It's supposed to be the other way around. You appeal before you pay. Is a crooked New York judge allowed to make you pay for the privilege of appealing a wrongful and corrupt decision? That is not at all what is going on in any way. He's not paying for the right to appeal. He has to be able to prove so that he can't simply wait years and not pay, that he has the money, that the money can, in theory, be gotten. If he wins the appeal, he gets the money back. He still has his appeal rights. He can do that regardless. But the idea is that he can't simply drag out the process for multiple years, as is certainly his goal in this and all of his other cases, without actually paying. That is the way it has always been in cases like this. That is the way it continues to be, regardless of the lies that he fills True Social with. Sabrina, what do you make of this?
I wonder how he even had the money to pay for that. Because $175 million, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. So good for you, sir. You're going to be just fine.
Yeah. Well, look, he got the bond thanks to LA-based company Knight Insurance Group. In the filing, they did not say what he was using as collateral for that. You can sort of understand why a company like Knight might want to do this. They're going to get a hefty fee off of that. So that $175 million is going to be far more like $200 million, thanks to what he'll be paying to them. And you can sort of understand why Donald Trump, I guess, would do this rather than just, if he has $400 million, just actually pay it off. He wants to hold on to the money. He wants to, it's tied in with real estate perhaps or with investments. But when it's at that level, it just seems, just pay it. Like, I don't understand sometimes what rich people do. I'm sure it's in their interest, I guess, but he's going to lose tens of millions of dollars in fees and interest off of this. So it seems weird to not just pay it off, but that's what he's doing as of right now. Anyway, remember, coming up in a few weeks, there will be a further meeting of the appeals court to look into all of this. It is possible that the end result could be that he still has to pay the full nearly $500 billion. It's entirely possible. It could be that that is actually cut, not just in terms of the bond that needs to be put forward, but the final judgment. That is entirely possible. It could be the $175 million. It could be less. It could be zero. There doesn't seem to be any objective reason why that would happen, but we're living in America in 2024 and the justice system is wild. So buckle up for all of that. And by the way, if you are sort of holding a little bit of hope that he will be drained of much of his cash because it bothers you on a fundamental level that a guy like this is still rich, I understand that. But I also want to prepare you for the idea that he will, at the end of all of this, still be rich. And I know that that seems like a bit of a downer. But I want to give you, I guess, the silver lining, which is he has been rich for decades and decades, and none of it seems to give him any joy. So if you're looking for him to be miserable, he appears to be miserable regardless of his status as a billionaire. So maybe we don't need the judgment to achieve that. In any event, that is all the time we have for the first segment of the first hour of the show. Lots more to come on the other side of this break.
DeSantis is willing to sign a 5-week and 6-week ban.
Would you support that? You think that goes too far?
I think what he did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake.
So Trump might be right about that, actually. He's pointing out that Ron DeSantis is pushing for a 5 or 6 week abortion ban. I don't know what the 5 week thing is. Grandpa's off his meds, but he was pushing for a 6 week abortion ban. And thanks to Florida's Supreme Court, it looks like he's going to get it, but he might end up regretting getting what he wanted, because I believe that there's a case to be made that this might have sealed the political fate of Florida and perhaps determined the course of the 2024 election. I know that I seem to be getting ahead of myself. We're gonna get there, don't worry, but buckle up. There's some bad news before the good news. And the bad news is that the Supreme Court of Florida upheld a 15-week ban on abortion, which now also means that the 6 week abortion ban that Ron DeSantis and the Republicans there have passed, that has exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the woman aren't worth a damn, will probably go into effect. So they are getting what they want, which is effectively abortions outlawed in Florida. A 6 week ban means nothing. It means that for the vast majority of people who become pregnant, it's totally banned from before you can ever even know that you're pregnant. Maybe if the timing is perfect, you might have 5 minutes to rush to Planned Parenthood. But for the rest of you, it is now banned. Florida, like basically the entire rest of the American South, now exists in a different century than the rest of the country. So bear that in mind. And in defense of what they did, the court's justices say, consistent with longstanding principles of judicial deference to legislative enactments, we conclude there is no basis under the privacy clause to invalidate the 15-week statute. What they said there is designed to make you fall asleep, and it's got some legalese in it to make it seem as if what they're doing is consistent with prior decisions. Let me tell you, it is not. Florida Supreme Court has for literally decades upheld the right to an abortion. They are now 100% turning on what they have previously said and done. So they can use whatever complicated, high dollar vocabulary they want. It's all BS. That's all it is. But what about the sealing the fate stuff that I was alluding to? Because the bad news is that 15 weeks is upheld. 6 week will soon be in effect. Well, at the same time, the Florida Supreme Court also allowed a proposed amendment to be on the election ballot for this November that will allow Florida voters to effectively decide whether they want to keep the 6 week ban or whether they want to enshrine the right to an abortion in the Constitution. And that is going to be absolutely huge. Now, bear in mind, it is difficult to get something like that passed in Florida because Florida, like a lot of states, is fundamentally anti-democratic and they don't give a damn what the people think. So it's not a thing where you need to get 50% plus one, you need to get 60% of the vote to actually win on a ballot measure like this. But over the past few years, since Roe v. Wade was killed, we've seen what happens when you leave it up to the people, when you let them actually have their voice be heard on this topic. They come out, and even in red states, redder states than Florida is, they have come out in defense of reproductive autonomy. And there is every reason to believe that that is what they are going to do. So in getting what they want in this, they may end up regretting it on this particular topic. And I believe, and I will make the case in a little bit, it could have a big effect on the election as well. But first, Sabrina, throwing a lot out here, and I know that this is a topic that you care a lot about. What do you think about these moves by Florida and their Supreme Court?
I think words like autonomy are going to be the key here, because obviously I feel like Floridians care a lot about their individual rights. So I do feel like it is possible for Florida to get that 60% later in the year. But I think they need to reframe the argument from, like a progressive issue to more of this is your individual rights being trampled. Take advantage of right-wing language that normally appeals to them and use that as a defense to protect a person's right to an abortion. This trial period hopefully will only be temporary. It looks like it goes into effect in about a month. So hopefully people will see how evil this is, and they'll see the effects if it lasts. So I think that it's possible that we can get that 60%. We just have to look at the phrasing.
Yeah, 100%. And bear in mind, the National Supreme Court could potentially weigh in on various aspects of this, and God only knows what'll happen if that happens. They, of course, killed Roe v. Wade. They seem likely to maintain the availability of medication abortions. So you never quite know, except that it's leaning against people having control of their own body. But I did say that this will not only affect the fate of Florida, but perhaps the country in the election. And so I want to turn to that now. Let's jump ahead to graphic 4. So they allowed this ballot measure having to do with abortion. They also put one that would potentially legalize marijuana there. Bear in mind, Florida has a history of this already being done, and then the Florida state government telling people to kick rocks and overturning their will. But now you've got two big draws to Democrats potentially, and not even just Democrats, independents and a lot of reasonable Republicans to come and vote. And that potentially matters because it came out earlier today that the Biden campaign has announced that it's going to target flipping Trump's Florida. And I will be honest, when I first saw that, I thought, you dumb donkeys, you're gonna set money on fire. It's a fool's errand. You're not gonna flip Florida for Joe Biden. Look, but it is a little bit complicated. Trump won Florida the last time around by how much? What are you thinking? 10 points? I mean, it's super red. 11 points? It was 3 points. It was 3 points, which isn't a lot. It's not nothing, but it's not a lot. It's about what Ted Cruz won re-election by in Texas. So it's in the realm of possibility. They're gonna put a lot of money in there, theoretically, if they do. And now you have a thing where a lot of people are gonna be drawn, not by Biden, but by the fact that they want to maintain their reproductive autonomy. And while they're there voting on that, perhaps they vote for Joe Biden. I don't know what that's worth, but is it maybe worth 3%? I don't know. I mean, Democrats have been winning special elections over the last 4 years all over the country. They've been winning every single one of the ballot measures having to do with this. Was it in Mississippi? They flipped a state legislative district for a guy who ran strongly on reproductive freedoms. So is it impossible? I don't know. I don't know if it's wise, but I don't think it's impossible. But Sabrina, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna flip for Biden. Don't have a lot of confidence in him, in my own personal opinion. But in regards to like how Florida may vote, I do think that it's possible that they'll get that 60% for the abortion, but also the marijuana amendments. Like, I've been to Florida a few times now. It's such like a laid back state. I'm kind of surprised that they haven't passed it already, especially like just Miami alone. That's the least of their concerns. So I do see them voting a little bit more progressively on issues. I don't know if I see them flipping for Biden right now.
Yeah, I don't know. And I love what you point out. Like, it's so absurd that it's not, that marijuana is not already legal there. You got people like Ron DeSantis and all of them running around like, you're like, government, get off our backs. How dare you tell us what to do? Don't smoke that plant. No, there's this other plant. You can smoke that. You can't smoke this plant because it makes you too relaxed and it bothers me. I don't like it, so you can't do it. It's so ideologically inconsistent. And so hopefully that'll bring out maybe younger voters or independents, libertarians or something like that. I don't know. And you have the abortion thing too, so we'll see. It could be a waste of a lot of money. It could also be a smokescreen. It could be the Biden campaign saying, we're expanding the map. We're gonna be running everywhere to try to get Trump to defend everywhere. And Trump is not gonna have as much money as the Biden campaign. He can't really afford to defend everywhere. He would love to spend that money instead in Michigan or Wisconsin or Arizona or Georgia. So we'll see. Maybe that's a strategy, but stay tuned. Okay, with that said, we have a related topic actually. So I want to jump ahead to this ad.
Because for 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
In 2016, Donald Trump ran to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, in 2024, he's running to pass a national ban on a woman's right to choose. I'm running to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again, so women have a federal guarantee to the right to choose. Donald Trump doesn't trust women. I do.
That is Joe Biden putting Donald Trump in a very difficult position. This topic of abortion is one of Trump's weak spots. And Trump is not a smart or savvy enough person to weasel his way out of the position that he's in. He seemed to understand last year briefly, I guess I should pretend I'm not going to come for other reproductive freedoms, but he has to brag. So every speech he's coming out and saying that he's the guy that killed Roe v. Wade. And that is not a popular position to take. And I know he's gonna attack Joe Biden for claiming that Trump is gonna do a nationwide ban, but I've also been paying attention to what Trump has been saying, and that is 100% what he is pushing for. We're gonna discuss this, but first I wanna go to a little bit of Trump talking about this topic.
The number of weeks now, people are agreeing on 15, and I'm thinking in terms of that, and it'll come out to something that's very reasonable. But people are really, even hardliners are agreeing, seems to be 15 weeks. seems to be a number that people are agreeing at. But I'll make that announcement at the appropriate time.
Now, bear in mind that just a couple of months ago, he was saying 16 makes sense. Nice round number, 16. Now it's 15. We're not even to election day, let alone him actually passing the bill. Where do you think your rights will lie? What state will they be in by the time they finally come for them? But anyway, he's seeing everybody agrees, even the hardliners. I mean, I think plenty of people are perfectly happy with the status quo that we've had for literally decades of this country. It's you monsters and ghouls that are coming for these freedoms. Most people are not looking around the country and thinking the biggest threat to my financial well-being, my ability to buy a home, my ability to retire with dignity is that other people are exercising the same freedoms they've had for a half a century. But that's what they're choosing to focus on. And so I turn now to you, Sabrina. There are a lot of things that are going to influence the election in November. A lot of good things for Biden, bad things for Biden, and the same for Trump. This feels like one of the big X factors. What role do you think it will play in the election? How significant will it be?
With Trump, he's inconsistent because I don't think he actually cares that much. It's not going to really affect him. I think the thing that he cared about was doing something big. And he knows that overturning Roe v. Wade meant a lot to a portion of his fan base. And it sounds like a big thing that he did. And so he just wants credit. That's all he really wants. Will voters pay attention to that inconsistency? Maybe to the left of him, but I think the people who are his diehard audience already, I don't think they care that much. Mm-hmm. I think they're still going to vote for him.
Yeah, look, it depends on how you define that hardcore audience. I mean, there's always been that 30 to 33% of the country that would literally follow him over the side of a cliff. They would willingly dive down there, hoping that they could die with their God Emperor. But we know that when abortion's been put on the ballot, like even in red states, like some Republicans are crossing over. Now, the issue is, will they, like if it's in a place like Florida, will they vote for reproductive autonomy and then still vote for Trump, a guy who's going to take it away? I don't know. Are they motivated to go out when they otherwise wouldn't be? I really do think that it's going to have different effects in different states. But I would say that if you're Joe Biden, you need whatever help you can get at this point. He has firmed up his position in polls over the past few months, but it's still at the very least a coin flip. And there's a lot of election still to come. We know that there's worries amongst various demographic groups. Black voters seem to be souring in him. Young voters have a lot of problems. They are continuing to face criticism for their position on what's happening in Gaza. So they need some Trump cards. And one that they have is fundraising. Another that they have is that he is seen as being a far better protective of reproductive rights. So I think he definitely needs it. And they're putting a lot of money into it. I believe they put $30 million into ads focusing on this topic. Yes, $30 million in battleground states on this sort of topic. So you're gonna see a lot more ads and a lot more times of Donald Trump bragging about how he killed Roe v. Wade. I don't know that it's enough necessarily, but I think it's a strong attack and I'm glad that they're using it. Any other thoughts about this?
I think the Biden campaign is just gonna use whatever they can, because I'm personally not seeing a lot of favorability for him, especially because of his takes on Gaza and sending more and more money and equipment to Israel for their genocide in Gaza. So yeah, I'm not very confident in Biden. So use whatever you have at this point.
This is where the DNC was putting their focus on an AI-generated song to somehow mock me, which, as you said, wasn't even funny. Why did they go AI?
Okay, that is Laura Trump, head of the RNC pop sensation, who is mad at the DNC for releasing what she's describing there as like an AI-generated song to mock her. This is the DNC diss track that's going around against Laura Trump. So the start of this was Laura Trump released a song last week. We played it on the show. I'm not gonna do it again because ain't nobody need to hear that. But the DNC has responded to it with their own song. Is Laura Trump right though in pointing out that this is weird of the DNC? Well, let's play what the DNC put together and then we'll decide.
Falling down, it's no longer fun. Oh, Laura, can't you see? Silly
Yeah, it's not great, is it? if I did something and someone released a diss track and that was it, I'd be like, okay, good. I think I'm okay. I think I'm gonna survive this one. What do you think, Sabrina?
I think both tracks were equally cringe. But yeah, I thought hers was kind of AI-esque as well. So kind of odd for her to be attacking the DNC track for being AI. Yeah, they're both equally cringe, waste of times. And the thing is, if this is like the diss track against her, she should just laugh it off. And instead she's taking advantage of it and she's like being angry about it. But it's like, it's pretty terrible. So use that, but...
Yeah, if it's possible, if the director can just put up without sound that diss track, I want to make a comment about that. But yeah, it's not great, is it? By the way, if the point of a song like this is that the lyrics are supposed to be like, they like get her, they burn her, having the lyrics all there on screen before you hear them is like an impossible bar to overcome for it to be. It's never going to be clever enough when you can already read it before you hear it. And when the lyrics aren't that good to begin with, you're kind of doomed. So that said, not a particularly good diss track. Like, you couldn't get Lin-Manuel Miranda or something to, like, he loves the Dems. He would have written something. It would have been catchy. Anyway, so I think the Lara Trump is doing okay in that. I don't even know that it was AI. It was definitely auto-tuned at the very least, which, you know, there's a lot of that going around lately. Isn't there, Lara Trump, the auto-tune? I'm not saying it's AI. But it's at the very least like photoshopping your voice. Can we agree on that? In any event, Jamie Harrison, the DNC chair, released this to accompany the song. Folks, the song of the summer has come out early this year. The DNC War Room just released our first single, Party's Fallen Down, to celebrate Lara Trump focusing more on her music career than salvaging the sinking RNC. It's not the song of the summer. That's the funny thing about this is, in both of these cases, they put together, they had an idea, they recorded it, it got edited, sound design, and then they had a final project or a product. They listened to it, and that should have been the end of it. It shouldn't have been released. And in both cases, they pushed forward. I don't know, cringe posting is like kind of a kink, and I don't want to kink shame or anything, but like, I don't know. I don't think either of these things needed to be out in the world. But finally, and at the risk of giving Lara Trump even more free publicity than I already have, in the wake of her song coming out, she posted that Apple was shadow banning her. Because when you search for I Won't Back Down, her previous song, you don't see it. So that's what she said when that first song came out. Is it like a thing where on the right, every single time you do anything, you have to claim that you're being shadow banned? It's this weird, again, it's like a kink. It's this weird permanent victimhood status kink that they have to act out, knowing that their fans won't have a problem with it because their fans also claim that they're being shadow banned. It's just a constant ring of like, we're not getting enough free clout from these tech companies. You know why I Won't Back Down probably doesn't come up prominently when Lara Trump, your song comes out? Because far better and more talented people have done many, many covers of that than you have. And that's what's being advantaged. Also, by the way, the Tom Petty family doesn't even want her to sing that song. So look, it's not, I guess, up to them, but it's just a weird claim to make, Sabrina. Any final thoughts about this?
I love that she cries about like being censored, essentially. And you could see at the bottom of that screenshot that it has 1.3 million views. So you're still like able to reach people. You're fine. But this is what we get instead of a healthcare for all. Great, great dedication of time and resources.
No, I didn't even notice that, Sabrina. Thank God you noticed that. It had 1.3 million views for that nonsense. The entitlement. That's not enough for you, the 1.3 million views. You're not a singer. Like, what do you want? Anyway, let's turn to more serious matters, not just, you know, people who are, and Jamie Harrison was right about this, potentially ruining the RNC. Let's turn now to the actual candidates, starting with this. Another day and another deranged wackadoodle that Donald Trump has endorsed for office. This time it's Pastor Mark Burns, who's running for a House seat in South Carolina. But who is he? What does he believe? Well, another notable South Carolinian is Lindsey Graham, who actually held the seat that this guy's now running for. What does he think about him? Take a look at this.
I want to start holding people accountable for treason to the Constitution. I am going to push to reenact HUAC. HUAC is the House of Un-American Activities Committee. It was a real committee that was formulated back in the 50s, and is a committee that we should reenact that starts holding these people accountable for treason. Lindsey Graham should be held accountable for treason for supporting Joe Biden's gun-grabbing Second Amendment law that he's trying to push forward. Lindsey Graham, my opponent's mentor, just stated that I am supporting all initiatives that Joe Biden has put forward with gun control, and he is pushing for others, Democrats, to push it to a vote. Mitch McConnell just stated to urge other Republican senators to support Lindsey Graham to come after our guns, to confiscate our guns. That should be held for treason, not just be voting people. No, we need to hold people for treason, start having some public hearings, and start executing people who are found guilty for their treasonous acts against the Constitution of the United States of America, just like they did back in 1776.
Wow, that really accelerated at the end. I thought it was crazy, 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 crazy. Oh, okay. So when he was throwing around the term treason, I was like, yeah, I know what he's doing here. It's a dog whistle to the Republicans where they're like, it's treason. Do we get to kill someone? And he decided that the nuance might go over their heads. No, we're going to have public hearings and then we're going to be executing people. He just did a rant against Lindsey Graham and then turned to executing people. I don't know. I can do arithmetic. I think he's talking about executing Lindsey Graham for putting out a statement where he said he supports all of Joe Biden's gun measures. I am not even going to Google that. There is no way in hell Lindsey Graham put out a message like that. Maybe he supported one regulation or something, but the idea that Lindsey Graham is in favor of gun confiscation is below the level of even YouTube conversation about politics. We have more, but Sabrina, what do you think about that?
Clearly, facts truly don't matter to this person. He just says words, buzzwords, like you said earlier, as a dog whistle. Admittedly, I didn't know a lot about this man before this morning. And so I did some Googling, I did some research, and he was saying that he wants to introduce God back into the classroom. And he's like, we're failing by teaching evolution because evolution is based in science and that's the devil. So this guy clearly does not care about true facts. But I don't know how much his listeners really care. So kind of spooky that he got the Trump endorsement.
Oh, I don't know why you're so casually casting off the possibility that Satan is behind a lot of this. I have noticed in my life that Satan gets behind a lot of stuff. Pretty much anything that I don't like, it turns out that Satan's doing it. That's just the way that it lines up. But anyway, let's go briefly to another appearance. And then I'm gonna tell you about this guy's personal history, because there's some George Santosian sort of elements to this, which we'll get to. But first, here he is at Diamond's funeral.
Even now, she's looking down, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt, Diamond is talking to Jesus, and she is saying, Jesus, please make sure that Donald J. Trump is the next president.
That's her funeral. Like, can it just be about her? Does it have to be about Trump? She died. She was a full grown woman with a whole life and dreams and aspirations and family members and friends, and you're making it about Trump. There's a lot of rallies about Trump. Can you just hold off for one of those and have this one be about Diamond? Although in his defense, if there is a heaven, if she's there, she probably is thinking about Donald Trump up there. She's probably doing a show in heaven about Donald Trump. In any event, I want to turn now to this guy because he's made some claims about his past. You know, he wants to show that he has a good background. So you should probably know that he has a Bachelor of Science degree and he served 6 years in the Army Reserve. So college man and the Army. So that's good. It's not true. Neither of it is true. He was never in the Army Reserve. He was in the South Carolina National Guard, from which he was discharged in 2008. Why that wasn't good enough for your resume, I'll never know. That's serving your country. Why not just say the true one rather than lying about it? Also, the bachelor's degree, not true either. North Greenville University told CNN he only attended the university for one semester. He did not finish his degree. You went to college. You didn't get a bachelor's. Honestly, at this point, if you're just going to invent your educational history whole cloth, why not get the master's? Why not get the doctorate? I think you earned it with your lies. But anyway, all of it was made up. It wasn't actually true. But as we'll close, you'll see Donald Trump is a true thing about him. And weirdly, Donald Trump doesn't mention the fact that he's calling for the public execution of sitting US senators. He doesn't mention that he lied about his education or that he stole valor by lying about serving in the Army Reserve. Weirdly, he doesn't mention any of that stuff. Strange. Anyway, that's unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of the show. We have more to come with Sabrina in the aftermath. We're going to be talking about the end of the world and Barbie and Shakira. We're going to determine finally, do hips in fact lie? Anyway, no, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.